Zero.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops
Woohoo!
HD. It is Wednesday evening, January 4th, around 9 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for
Under the
some
Radar
show.
Bracketology,
Under
Hoops
the
HD report.
radar rundown. Under the radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Down below, we've got the annoying puppet, David Griggs.
Yes, we do.
Over to my side, we got John Salica. Just the three of us, a little three-man weave tonight.
This is
We got a
kind of an
lot to get
old
to,
school
though.
lineup.
Yeah, it is an
Yeah,
old
a little
school,
bit vintage here.
little vintage here.
Yeah.
We got to do under the radar. Salika, why don't you start by telling one that what under the radar is? Because Briggs always screws it up.
Well, first of all, under the radar, these cover the conferences that are not part of the Power Five. That would be the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12. We also don't cover multi-bid leagues like the Big East, the Mountain West, and the West Coast Conference.
The
And we
American.
also, but we will also be covering two independent schools like Chicago State and Hartford. The other qualifier is you cannot be in the top 25. So if you're looking to check in for the Charleston Cougars, you'll have to go back to our Monday Hoops HD report to hear a breakdown on them. But we will also be covering the Atlantic 10 this year.
Yes, Atlantic 10 is in there under the radar this year. For those of you that watch Monday night and is wondering why we didn't discuss them, College of Charleston, while we discuss the rest of the Colonial on the show, we're going to pretend they don't exist or something like that. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
But what we like to do is we go through all the conferences pretty much in alphabetical order, with the exception of we like to always start out with a little feature conference for the night that I spent hours and hours
Hours.
painstakingly
Yes.
picking 3 seconds before we start the show. Let me pull up the screen share here and decide, figure out what the heck our feature conference of the night is. The feature conference is the Mid-American Conference. How about
All
the MAC?
right.
A little
How
MACtion
about
here
it?
tonight.
A great selection. I don't know why we haven't done this one yet, because there's one team and one storyline in particular that, while they're not under the radar, I think they might actually be better than the team that's in the top 25.
And I think you're talking about Eastern Michigan.
Eastern Michigan, yes.
Now, here they are on the left. The Kent State profile, which has a something a little bit lacking in it, though.
It does. And it's one of those cases, and you get this with a lot of under the radar teams when you've been doing this, and it's frustrating when it happens. You just feel that the profile, particularly the quad one and quad two, do not match how good the team actually is. This is a team that, with less than a minute to go, had a lead on Houston. Houston, pretty good, I think we can all agree. They were right in there with Gonzaga, and I think that game at College of Charleston had multiple lead changes in the last minute. That was at College of Charleston. You can't help but think that if it were neutral floor at Kent wins that game. Nothing against College of Charleston. We talked about them the other night. They're in the top 25, but this is an outstanding Kent State team. Very good. And but is there enough there to get inside the bubble? I kind of think there is, if they can basically blow through the rest of their schedule, which won't be easy, but I think it will be good enough to do. And one of the things I keep going back to is Murray State from a year ago was in a league worse than this and was so far inside the bubble that they were in on the first ballot.
You see me shaking my head here, Stalika, back me up. This is a conference in your backyard here, full of intense, tough rivalries. You can't blow through the MAC, no matter how good you are, can you?
I don't think we want to talk about the team that's in my immediate backyard this year, but there are lots of good rivalries right here. The Wagon Wheel fe still features figures to be the feature rivalry this year between Kent State and Akron right here. You look at a team like Toledo, they have the battle for I-75 with Bowling Green. However, the Rockets did get off to a bit of a slow start in MAC play with their home loss against Ball State. Toledo has won the MAC the regular season two straight times, but they've dug themselves a bit of a hole if they're going for a three-peat right here.
I don't think 0-1 is a hole quite yet. I think gotta keep, but losing a home game,
That's what I mean.
but to a Ball State team that I think is going to be right up there beyond this Kent State team. This is my problem with what you said, Griggs. Ball State's going to be a quality team. Toledo's a quality team. Akron's a quality team. Ohio's a quality team. Even Buffalo has shown a little bit of life here and there. I mean, you're going to blow out the directional Michigan schools, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think Kent can beat, and I know that they had to sweat a little bit the other night. And to your point, yeah, the rivalries are really big. The atmospheres are really intense. If you're watching this show, you're probably very familiar with the MAC. I think that mid-level Big Ten teams that are typically inside the bubble, if they were to play all 12 of these teams on the road, they'd probably win less than half of them.
Right. But Kent State has, maybe not all 12, but Kent State has to play 8 or 9 road games.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10 road games. And if you're saying a inside the bubble Big Ten team is going to lose 3 or 4 games if they play that schedule, well, that's about, if you say Kent State's an inside the bubble team, they're going to lose 3 or 4 games and now they're not inside the bubble. That's the problem.
I like this Kent State team.
Okay. Yeah. I think they're very dangerous, but I think at the end of the day, they may have to win the MAC tournament unless they really can do something like 15-1 or however.
Yeah, I do think their next road game is winnable. It's at Miami, Ohio.
Okay. I'll add that to the directional Michigan schools and Miami of Ohio. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is there anybody else?
Tuesday night, they got Toledo at home, though. That'll be a test.
And you mentioned some other teams that are really good. I just don't think they're quite as good as Kent State. Ball State, a really good story. Granted, their strength of schedule is a lot to be desired, but as a program, really turning themselves around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess before we go on, we want to cover this conference in full. Slicka, you want to give us 10 or 15 minutes on Miami, Ohio?
Well, unless you want to talk about the meltdown they had at the end of the game against Central Michigan, there's really nothing else to discuss about the Red Hawks.
I guess we'll move over to the America East then. How's that sound? Go through the leagues in alphabetical order. The America East, and the story here is the continued performance of this UMass Lowell team, almost coming out of nowhere. Started off conference play 1-0. But still,
impressive conference team.
They have the best numbers in the conference. They're 11-2 versus D1 competition. I'm still keeping an eye on this Vermont team, though. Now that they're in league play, they started the win with a nice road win at UMBC.
And Vermont, I think, at least in my case, because they had such a rough run out of conference, you forget how good that they actually are, and in how many cases is a team's record, if they're from under the radar, reflective of the schedule they've played more so than how good they actually are. I think you're absolutely right. As much fun as UMass Lowell has been, and as good as they are, and they are, I'm with you, Chad. I think Vermont is going to win this league.
Don't forget about Bryant either, though.
I like them too, yeah.
Okay. Curiously enough, Bryant was the only team that won at home in the first wave of America East games. And even that was only by 4 points against Binghamton.
Yeah, everything kind of upside down with the road teams winning all but one game.
Circle this game here coming up Thursday night, Bryant at Vermont. That's one of the key games between the teams that we expect to contend to this conference this season. So that's probably the game to watch in the America East this week. In fact, we're going to probably start our bracket rundown show late tomorrow just so we can all watch this show.
Yeah, we probably will.
Oh, what's going on here?
I think they were trying to tell us about Vermont and UMass Lowell next Wednesday.
I don't know. Slicka, how about the Ace Sun? This 14-team monstrosity of a conference now.
Well, we've talked about Stetson in the first couple weeks because of their wins at Florida State, and also I think one of the other schools within the state. They're off to a 2-0 start right here, and our old friends from Florida Gulf Coast and Liberty also winning their first 2 games. Kind of saw a little bit of a surprise winning their first 2 right here, but given that they were against Eastern Kentucky and Central Arkansas
at home. I don't give any credence to Kennesaw quite yet. That's a stretch, I think.
Yeah, Gulf Coast clearly making the most noise out of conference. You know, they also had that win USC.
Yeah, USC. Yes, yeah. They won at USC. Liberty, if you look at the metrics, I mean, they're actually got some of the better metrics right now than Gulf Coast does. So those are definitely the two teams here. I think those are the two teams in the day are going to battle this whole thing all the way.
I think so, too. If you're looking for other storylines, I know they lost one of their first 2 games. Queens, still a fun story. And how about Central Arkansas?
What about?
I just wanted to say that. I was
waiting for the follow up to that.
No, I just wanted to say how about that, and then enjoy the silence.
Okay. Liberty hosted Jacksonville State, Florida Gulf Coast at Austin P here on Thursday. So you know, we're waiting till these teams start facing each other here. Not going to be happening in the next week.
Yeah.
Hello, Atlantic 10. You are under the radar. In alphabetical order, you are up next. However, you know, starting to look a little bit better now. Pick up the road win at Davidson, knocked off St. Joe's just tonight.
They are. And I will say this about Dayton is the talent that they have now is what we were expecting it to be at the beginning of the year. They are starting to get healthy. And while the profile is just not there,
Similar to that Kent State profile we were just talking about?
It is not. Well, I would say not, because, like, you know, Kent State didn't lose at Virginia Tech and all these. I mean, Kent State lost to, like, highly ranked teams in close games.
Okay. Okay. That's still lacking tier one or two.
I think Kent State, yeah. But Dayton at full strength should blow through this conference. And if they do that, and if they get in, now they'll need the auto bid to get in. But if they do, I think this is potentially a really dangerous team in the round of 64 and maybe even the round after that. But they got to get there first. And the only way they're going to get there is, no matter how many games they win, I think one of them is going to have to be that last A-10 conference tournament game.
Well, Stalika, doesn't it help? You know, I really look at this Dayton profile. I don't think they're going to lose another quad one, tier one game all season. I think they're not going to pick up another loss at all in any of them.
Should
not in tier one. In tier one. Again, there's also going to be tier two,
but I think there's not going to be. You're not out on a limb there, Chad. They're not playing any tier one.
The game at St. Louis might be a tier two game, so yeah. They might get
the Stern Cup. Yep, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, I really don't think Texas Southern is going to lose another tier one game this year. That is.
Hey, so they're going to make the tournament too.
Yeah.
This conference is woefully bad this year. You know, those good stories had teams like Fordham. Well, Fordham
lost tonight.
Did pick up the loss. Is it on there?
Not yet. I don't believe.
They actually just went final moments ago. They now have three losses overall, 0-2 in conference.
Yeah, but the fact that they were beating anybody was noteworthy. But yeah, are they even going to finish?
They lost to Rhode Island tonight, by the way.
Yeah,
lost. Yeah.
Ooh, ouch.
Upcoming schedule here. If we're talking about Dayton, I guess we got their game is at Fordham on Tuesday, and I think they should be heavily favored to win that one.
Yeah, they should. And is there anybody else really that's even capable of doing anything other than having a cup of coffee if they win the auto bid other than Dayton? I don't think there is.
I don't see it. I think this conference is looking like a single bid conference that's going to go 0-1 in the NCAA tournament. That's it.
I think Dayton might get to a point to where they can be dangerous, but nobody else, they have to get there first.
Stalika, how about the Big Sky Conference?
Speaking of not dangerous.
Yeah, Weber State has continued to, dominate in the Beehive and also win their first two games in the Big Sky Conference right here, beating front range rival Northern Colorado and also Northern Arizona, a back range rival. So good to see they're covering both of the mythical conferences right here.
I was a lot more impressed with what Eastern Washington did with their first two games, sweeping that Montana road trip. Both, you know, for Big Sky purposes, quality pair of teams.
I was too, and that's the only thing that any Big Sky team has done all season that even impressed me a little bit. Like, yeah, it's an under the radar league, and the bottom of it is typically smells pretty bad, but generally at the top, there's some sort of competitive team, some really good team. Not this year. Good grief.
And as it happened, Idaho State also got the double of Northern Colorado, Northern Arizona at home.
Yeah, but they got those at home. Eastern Washington going down the road. Now Eastern Washington come home this week. They're getting Portland State and Sacramento State. So they could be at 4-0 come next week here.
Yeah. Sac State was a story for a minute, but no, I mean, they've just kind of faded.
South Conference, Griggs, Longwood, our preseason pick, is now off to the 3-0 start.
Right, and no real surprise there. I know Longwood was sort of, getting beat up a little bit out of conference. And because of that, I think they kind of fell down and a little bit off of our radar. But even with that, we thought that once they got in the league play, they would still be the best team. And so far they have been. Winthrop might be able to keep pace with them, but I haven't really seen anybody else.
It was 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking about this High Point team, and they go 0-2 to start the season.
Not a good start at all.
Home loss to Gardner Webb for High Point, so that was
at home. Yeah, in Gardner Webb. So you know the Lancers, and again, a really really good story. A team that was among probably the 20, 30 worst programs in the country, making the NCAA tournament last
Stop
year.
Stop the presses. Coming up Saturday.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yes. Yes, the greatest rivalry.
One cup round one.
Oh, we should have been the feature conference. The Wynwood rivalry.
The Wynwood Cup
maybe
is
next
coming up
week,
Saturday.
Puppet.
The Wynwood Cup.
Oh, yeah, we missed that one. We were picking conferences out. So we apologize to everybody, but coming up Saturday, it is Wynwood Cup time.
I wonder what our game of the day will be on Saturday.
I don't know. We need to come. Oh, we need to send them. We need to get a trophy and send that to the winner of that game every year.
I bet one of these.
Yes, one of those. A big, like, Hornets, that piece of crap. Well, very fitting for the A-10 this year, by the way, for Charlotte and Davidson. Okay. That is an actual trophy. That isn't something that we created. It looks like something we would create, but.
the Stalika. How about the Big West?
Oh, I love this league.
Yeah, Hawaii continues to impress after their win in the Diamond Head Invitational. You get a couple more home wins against UC Davis and Cal Poly. As far as UC Santa Barbara, at least they get one of the wins on the road at Titan Gym against Fullerton, and also follow that up with a home win against UC San Diego.
Yeah, Irvine also picks up a road win at Bakersfield. Those are the three teams I'm really looking at, though. Santa Barbara, Irvine, Hawaii.
I think so, and I was so big on the Eaters when they went in Oregon at one. They've kind of tapered off a little bit. If anything, I don't want to say that they've been disappointing, but their big win early on turned out to not be as big as it seemed at the time. And I'm with the Bows and the Gauchos more than anything else. Long Beach, if we're going to discuss a team that has potential but has not played up to it at all in any way, shape, or form, is this one of the bigger disappointments, not just in this league, but of the season? This Beach team.
Yeah, at one point, home loss to a decent Riverside team now. I think it's probably the fourth best team in the conference. But
4-8. This is a team that we all liked, I think, coming into the year. Great.
Hawaii goes on the road this week. They're at UC San Diego and Cal State Fullerton. UCSB is going to be at Cal Poly and Bakersfield. You see the rest of the games are on the conference play coming up there. But let's jump over to the Colonial. And first thing I want everyone to do is ignore the team that's ranked number one there. They are not under the radar.
We discussed them the other night. They're in the top 25. Correct.
But is it worth discussing this UNC Wilmington? I know you like this Towson team a lot. I like this UNC Wilmington team a lot more.
Well, it's kind of hard to make a case for Towson when they keep losing games that are winnable and that they should win. I think they're good enough to have a much better record than what they do. But who is it? Joe Lenardi kind of says it. You are what, at the end of the day, you sort of are what your profile is. That might not be entirely true, but in this case, there's nothing. I mean, home to Navy, Fairfield is a god-awful team. It isn't like they went out and lost close games to ranked teams. They got beat at home by bad, bad teams.
Right. But how about Sleek of this UNC Wilmington team? I go back to Kent State from the top of the show. Isn't this the same profile?
No.
We're also talking about a team that's actually beaten North Texas in one of the exempt events back around Thanksgiving right here.
Best win is better than I think Kent State.
It is, but they got smashed by UConn. And I mean, Kent State actually was ahead.
There are teams in the Big Ten that are going to be inside the bubble that will get smashed in those three road games at UConn, at North Carolina, at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Kent State would not get smashed.
Kent State didn't play in those three games.
No, they played better teams and actually competed.
Salika, I'm sorry, we can cut you off there.
Yeah, I have a feeling Chad may have had
UNC Wilmington
a little bit high in his top 10 ballot for this week.
I have.
I do like
10.
This Wilmington team. I want to make that clear. I just don't like them quite as much as Kent. Yeah.
Okay. I like this team a lot.
I like them too.
Fortunately, they're in the same conference as Charleston, and they're probably going to have to find a way to beat Charleston in the Colonial Athletic Association.
If they go to Charleston and win, then you, because Kent did not go to Charleston and win, then I will. You're never right about anything, but I might have to admit that you were right.
Well,
if they
I'll
go
tell
to
you
Charleston.
What. Next Wednesday night, it's not, they're not at Charleston. They're at home, but this is going to be one of the big games of the season.
That is a huge game. And you know what? Charleston kind of needs that for their resume too. Not, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on there already, but that would be, that's one of their bigger remaining games.
That's probably their biggest remaining games. They're only top 100 road game left. So,
yeah.
But again, we're not talking to Charleston. We talked about them.
Right. Yeah. We talked about them the other.
Because we would be talking about a tier two win should this come to fruition.
Let's talk about the conference that I know Stalika wants to talk about because of his tagline right there on the screen. Conference USA.
I mean, it's not quite the salad days of Cincinnati, Louisville, Marquette, and DePaul when they were actually irrelevant, but Florida Atlantic, they do continue to impress. They have the big win at the Green Pit against North Texas. And then you also have to look at UAB, who's still holding the line themselves with their first three wins in conference play.
Yeah, really sweating out that last win, but getting it done. We're behind for a lot of that game. This is one of the reasons that I love college basketball, and you know, because this conference could get three teams in. I'm not saying that they will, but it could conceivably be as many as three. And another team to kind of watch out for that's dangerous, that keeps shooting themselves in the foot and maybe in the face. This Western Kentucky team, they don't always play up to the level of their talent, but when they do, they can beat anybody in this league. They can lose to anybody in this league, but they can beat anybody.
Let's not forget about North Texas. Let's not forget about Charlotte. I mean, there are these are top 100 net teams here.
Florida
Atlantic, a ridiculously high 11 net.
And they deserve it. Like, did you have
the NCAA tournament by net? They're a protected seed.
Yeah. And this is a good FAU team. It's on the, you know, they went to Florida and won. And honestly, maybe they should have won a little more handily than what they did. But that win at North Texas, like North Texas loses maybe one or two games at home a year. And this is a really good FAU team, a really big game tomorrow night at UAB. Or I'm sorry, UAB coming to Florida Atlantic. So, and that game has tournament implications because that's a big one. The committee is watching, I promise you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game between two teams that I'm seriously considering for tournament. Actually, I think Florida Atlantic is in right now and in solidly.
I think they are too.
I think UAB is a bubble team right now. Right now, I think they're a bubble team.
Yeah, and if they go to Florida Atlantic and win, which I don't know if that game will be over before we come on tomorrow or not, but I think you put them in.
And then you've got also a very interesting week for North Texas. They're going to Western Kentucky and to Middle Tennessee. Two tough road games here for North
100
Texas.
100 miles of hate.
Yeah.
Charlotte then on Saturday at Florida Atlantic. There are a lot of good – this is good, one of the few years I've ever said I'm really having fun watching Conference USA.
Yeah.
A lot of these games are just such dreck.
Yeah, it was a bloated
quality teams.
Yeah, it was a bloated league. It was in the divisions. This is a single division team that has solid at the top and at the middle, and even the bottom, minus maybe the runners of San Antonio, doesn't smell so bad.
FIU kind of stinks too, but
yeah.
But Western Kentucky's quality. UTEP has some good wins already this season. Louisiana Tech is always quality. Rice has been much improved. There's a lot to learn.
Rice is much improved. Like, yeah.
Over in the Horizon League, Salika.
Oh, talking about not much improved.
Not much improved. But Salika, Northern Kentucky gets the home win over Wright State. They win at IUPUI, probably not as big as they should have. But how about NKU? Is this now their conference?
And I was saying this in a group chat on Monday. There are some programs that smell bad, but this conference smells like a meth lab right here. I mean, it's okay. Good that NKU is going to be 4-0, but this is not one of your vintage Norse teams right here. So they did get the win against Wright State. It's always good to beat your rival. I'm sure, as Tytel would say, the five of us could probably beat IUPUI if you add two more panelists right here. But by the same token, you still have to keep an eye on Cleveland State, even though Dennis Gates is now coaching at Missouri. He's still left a few pieces behind for the subsequent coaching staff right here.
Yeah.
You look at some of the metrics, at least. Look, Fort Wayne and Youngstown State are up there in the metrics, although they're both 2-2 starts. Fort Wayne loses the game to Robert Morris. Here's the upcoming schedule. Unfortunately, I just think we're looking at, I think we got a decent shot at a 16 seed coming out of this conference.
I think so too. Which is way below what this conference normally performs at. But yeah, I agree with you, Chad.
And also a good chance for NKU to advance to 6-0 right here with their homestand against Oakland and Detroit Mercy.
Yeah.
With Detroit Mercy, keep an eye though on Antoine Davis. He is moved within. Maybe his next game, he may pass Doug McDermott on the all-time scoring list, I think up to top six or so. So he is climbing that list very quickly. Mm-hmm. Over in the Ivy League, we've got the first conference game out of the play, and the big upset was Columbia taking down Yale in opening day in conference play. That was a shocker to me.
That was kind of astounding.
I mean, these were a pair of teams. Look at these net differences, even after the game, 330 to 58.
Yeah, I mean, Yale, you know, they competed with Kentucky. We've been high on this Yale team all year, and it was just one of those. You didn't really watch the game as much as you just sort of followed the score, and then you finally felt compelled to turn it on. How the hell did that happen?
I don't. This is one of those head scratchers. This ranks very close to that Eastern Illinois win over Iowa. This was a 300 type of net difference between these two teams.
It might end up being that by the end of the year. That may have been. As crazy as this is to say, because of how bad Iowa suddenly is, that might be the biggest upset of the year at the end of the year in terms of how far apart the teams are.
Yale much needed needs these games Friday and Saturday against Dartmouth and Harvard at home to bounce back from that. Of course, you got Penn and Princeton both on the road, both going to Columbia this weekend. So, you know, maybe this Columbia team has something.
I don't think so.
You also have to go to the bottom of the schedule here. It's round one of the Brown Mouth Cup.
Yes.
Here's the Brown Mouth Cup. That's tough. We got the Brown Mouth Cup and the Wiggler Cup on the same day on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, it's just I mean, I know what nobody on Saturday across the country is going to leave the house. It's going to be Super Bowl type ratings for the Brown Mouth and the Wynwood Cups. Can we talk about the Big Red just real quick? Well, just a quick shout out. I still think Cornell's the best team in the conference.
Really?
Liked them all along.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to stick with Yale. I think it was a fluke. Sleeka, Iona sitting here with a 51 net. 3-0 early lead in the Metro Atlantic conference play. But they probably did not do enough out of conference to get on the board, did they?
Well, beating New Mexico would have helped. Granted, that was not the easiest game for Iona to win. And frankly, probably not one of their main goals, considering it's either going to be winning the Metro Atlantic or bust. You also have to talk about teams like Canisius and Niagara also struggling to get some of their games in just because of the blizzard that had pounded Greater Buffalo over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, Ryder and Canisius played their game Saturday on technically a neutral court. They played it at Niagara, right?
Yeah, to answer your question, Chad, if we can go back to their profile real quick, I don't think they did do enough. The one game that kind of slipped away was that game at Hofstra. They led for a lot of it. It seesawed back and forth. Had they gotten that win, it would have been a tier two win. Even that may not have been enough, but it would have at least been something. But as it turns out, they're just not going to get anything above the third tier. They just don't have the opportunities in conference. But And we've seen that the committee is not necessarily enamored by bloated records if it's all against sub NIT caliber teams.
Right. And of course, though, you know, as long as Iona blows through this league, there's no doubt that they will win the conference tournament, just like last
year. Yeah, just like last year. Last year, they actually had a case. We didn't select them, but they were on our board. And if it were debate class, you could have made a case to take them if you really needed to. I don't think you can this year.
If you want to circle something for this week in the conference, Iona at Quinnipiac Sunday. Quinnipiac got to a real good start this season.
Slipped not in conference,
times conference play. Slipped up in a conference play, but still has a nice overall record. Could be one of the tougher road games for Iona. Not the toughest, but a tougher road game in conference, at least.
Manhattan, for even more reasons. I rescind my statement earlier about Long Beach State. They are the biggest disappointment in college basketball.
But there's reasons there, too.
Yes, there's reasons.
Coach. Yeah. Long Beach did not lose their coach on the eve of the season.
Right, yeah.
MEAC Conference, Delica. We have not yet gotten into conference play, so there's not much to say here other than we have a team with a winning D1 record in Norfolk, so congratulations, golf clap.
Yep, and they did add a non-D1 win tonight against Penn State Wilkes-Barre, although I kind of like Morgan State's win against Goucher a little bit more.
Okay.
Conference play starts on Saturday. Norfolk State hosting Eastern Shore, then they're at Delaware State on Monday. Delaware State still looking for that first D1 win of the season, and currently dead. They're not dead last of the net. There's three.
No, they're down there, and a definite centenary candidate. Norfolk State, can they get inside? Can they get above the 16 line?
Inside the bubble? No, they cannot get inside. Yeah. Yet. Yes, I think Norfolk State can get out of the first four. If they run through this conference and win the conference.
I think they will run through this league. I think Norfolk's going.
They have a shot at the 15 line.
I know you like Howard a little bit, or is it Morgan State you like? I think Norfolk State does the double undefeated. I think it's 17-0, 14-0 in the season, and then three conference tournament wins. They're just so much better than everybody.
I think you could see them on the 15 line in that case.
Yeah.
Especially with a couple conference tournament upsets in other leagues that drop teams down.
Right, yeah.
Missouri Valley Conference is one of those head scratching leagues for me as well this year. Is
grossly disappointing. Yeah.
I do not see anybody in this conference that I even consider to be a bubble team at the moment, or even have a shot getting on the bubble at the moment.
I concur. No, I don't. I've been talking a lot. In they always say if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. Stalika, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of teams in the CBI/CIT successor right here. I can't say anything more beyond that.
Yeah.
What the hell happened? And this was a league we were really excited about. You know, we thought Drake looked pretty good, especially with Drake, but with Missouri State, I think we liked them. And Indiana State got off to such a good start.
State is at the 4-0. We'll give them that. I mean, they are the only good story, I think, in this conference so far. Maybe Bradley as well, you know, a little bit of a surprise here, but it's a Bradley team that, you know, has won a few conference tournaments in the past. At least they were very good at the Arch Madness, and they do have an inside track in the selection, the committee room. You remember, you know, given that their AD is the selection committee chair.
Yes. So, I mean, I think we can see Bradley 6 or 7 line.
Upcoming schedule for this week. I don't know if you want to look at Indiana State. They are at Illinois State as we record this. Let me see if I can get a score update on that. They are currently up 11, 2 minutes left. So they are about to go to 5-0 with a win at Illinois State. So
okay.
Congrats to the trees off, you know, picking up another road win.
Yeah, and Drake in Southern Illinois, I wasn't that was what you thought coming in would have been one of the better under the radar games of the year.
It's a 1-point game with 3 minutes left. So as we record this, but
also keep an eye on next Wednesday when the trees host Southern Illinois right here. So we will have two of the best teams matching up.
Mm-hmm. Indiana State gets URC on Saturday before that. Griggs, our favorite conference is now into conference play, so we can talk about it. It was almost our league of the day today. It was a close call.
Yes, love this
Northeast
league.
Conference.
Oh, it is the best.
And I really like that team with the winning D1 record. Is there one?
No, there isn't, of course.
Oh, Wagner, but... Wagner, 6-5. Wagner, 6-5.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, Wagner is 6-5.
And, how did that happen? And one of only two top 300 teams of the conference.
Yeah, this league made a major mistake by not taking our advice and doing a quadruple round robin, because that's all anybody wants to see. I think that that would outrate, you know, the ACC and the Big East and everything else if they did that, because when these teams score off, it is just so much fun.
I got to give the shout out actually to Merrimack. They were the preseason pick. They were winless against D1 coming to conference play, but they started off conference play with a win at Wagner
for the second game. Because, of course, they did. That's
because
that's
it's the Northeast Conference.
Because it's the Northeast Conference.
And then there was another dark horse in Sacred Heart who was expected to possibly win, and Stonehill wins their first ever NEC game up there.
Yeah, I don't think this – well, this conference almost assuredly on its way to Dayton.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the good news about this conference is I think this conference has a solid chance to pick up an NCAA tournament win this year.
Yeah, they do, yes.
Because they'll be
playing get that extra credit, yeah.
Yes. Upcoming schedule, if we want to talk about – I don't know who we're going to talk about. Maybe SFPA, because they're undefeated. They're at Wagner on Saturday, so
– yeah. Should be. I think Wagner gets that one.
Ohio Valley Conference time.
Oh, God. This we'll is the part from of the alphabet.
Bad to even bit more bad. Yeah. SU Edwardsville, we've been talking them up, and they go and they lose a game at SEMO on Saturday. But, you know, I'm pretty sure she likes SEMO. How'd you get to the season? I thought, though.
So. I did. Not so much once the season has begun. How about Eastern Illinois? One of the worst teams, centenary bad, at least probably not that bad, but very close, has won their last four, including at Iowa, and then 2-0 in the league. The most improbable three-game winning streak maybe in the history of college athletics, not just basketball, but all of it.
I don't think this team's going to lose again.
No, I don't think. I think this team's on their way to the Sweet 16.
I think they're on the way to the Final Four. National champions. Eastern Illinois. Mark it down here. At Tennessee Tech and at Morehead State this week. Two more wins.
If you ask me, there is one team, well, aside from Eastern Illinois and their win at Iowa, Edwardsville has not looked awful, probably more often than everybody else, but everybody else has just looked pathetic all year long.
But honestly, my guess is Morehead will probably end Eastern Illinois' winning streak and we'll have an even bigger ectoplasmic mess in this conference.
Oh, no. Eastern Illinois is going to lose to Tennessee Tech on tomorrow night. Yeah. We need 322 losing at 333. That's about what this conference says.
I think this whole conference will be played within a two-game window, and it will look like this at the end of the year with, you know, a 10-8 team, an 8-10 team, and everybody else is 9-9.
Well, the winner of this conference might be playing the Northeast Conference champion in this in Dayton.
Yes.
Salika Patriot League. We've got a few quality teams. At least this is a huge step up from the last two leagues that we looked at.
Yeah. I mean, Colgate is off to their normal 2-0 right here. American's been the other pleasant surprise. They've also got a couple wins themselves, and also got to salute Army West Point right here for getting a couple wins themselves to start up the Patriot.
I'll tell you, the game that actually surprised me, though, from this league is we were talking up this Navy team in the start they were off to. Holy Cross goes to Navy the other night and picks up a nice, I think it was an afternoon game, actually, but on Monday, went to Navy and picked up a nice road win, and suddenly Holy Cross 2-0 when they had been pathetic in non-conference
play. Oh, yeah. I mean, just atrocious. And, like, we mentioned that, like, sometimes that's reflective of your schedule. Holy Cross's schedule was repulsively bad.
This is the Holy Cross. Remember, they came out of the 10 seed to win this conference tournament one year.
Right,
so
you
can never count on Holy Cross. Former national champions.
A team I still like, if you're talking about being in conference play now, who is the best team? I still think it's Colgate, but American probably making the most noise so far.
Okay. Colgate at Army, followed by American at Army coming up next week. So we've got, you know, that'll be a couple of interesting games here, especially with regard to this Army team, and see if they've got anything. And circle tomorrow night, Navy at Colgate as well. That's
pretty good. That might be when that should be okay.
Let's keep things rolling right along here over to the Southern Conference. Another conference has been pretty disappointing this year compared to prior years. And just when we're all on board of that Chattanooga bandwagon, they go lose back-to-back games to Citadel and Greensboro. And
those are not good back-to-back games to lose.
No.
Wow.
I guess we got to, should we suddenly be talking about Furman and Greensboro as the two teams, Stalika, or what are you looking at here?
I mean, Greensboro, you thought they might have had a bit of a slight fall ever since Wes Miller left for greener pastures at Cincinnati. But as long as they win the conference tournament right here, I mean, no one will hold anything against them. But it was, keep in mind, Furman was a team last year that ended up losing the conference tournament on a last second shot right here. They're still only a game behind first place themselves right here.
By the way, you can put Sanford up to 3-0. They did pick up a win over VMI tonight.
Well, yeah, that was who I kind of wanted to talk about. Sanford might have one of the worst losses that any team in D1 has managed this year. But they were a team we all liked.
It was a non-D1 loss.
It was a non-D1 loss to a really bad non-D1 team. But they were a team we liked coming into the year. And as down as
Methodist, I think that's the name. They've had to change the school name since. But go ahead,
With the league being down, do we kind of have to pay attention to them? And are they going to finish at or near the top? Oh God, this league is so bad. This is a league that we're used to seeing hovering around the bubble and sometimes even inside of
it. I'll tell you what, we've got good games. It's a big under the radar day Saturday. We've got the Brownmouth Cup. We've got the Wynwood Cup, and we've got the top two teams of the Southern Conference squared off in Sanford and Greensboro. I don't know if we have a name for that. The
Sambo.
The
Sambo.
The Green,
I don't know.
Sam. The Green.
Yeah, the Greenbo. The Greenford. We're just trying too hard.
The Southland Conference time, where we're all on board for Northwestern State. So what do? They lose at home to the team that actually we like to the best heading into the season, Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Yeah, and it looks like – oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, at least they lost to the Texas A&M with two Cs as opposed to the one C in Texas A&M Commerce.
So much for we loving on this Northwestern State team. Yes, I get it that Corpus Christi – I think Corpus Christi, Nichols, and Northwestern are the three best teams, but it was a home loss. You can't take home losses in this league. You just can't do it.
No, you can't. What a weak league this is. Well, it's always been kind of weak.
Probably could be facing the Northeast Conference champion as well. Anyhow, Northwestern State this week is going to be playing, hosting Nichols, actually. So they've got their other tough home game coming up right here on Saturday.
Yeah. Houston Christian continues to throw me. I know they changed the name this year. Yeah. I should be used to it, but I'm not.
Houston Christian, formerly known as Houston Baptist. Houston
Baptist, yeah.
Swag time, Stalika. How about we're only one game into conference play, so I don't know if we know
yet. How about Alabama A&M?
We were looking forward to Southern and Texas Southern's matchup, and Southern actually gets a nice road win right here, so they're definitely going to have a leg up as far as the top seed goes right here. We also had some high hopes for Grambling, but they ended up losing by a point on the road at Prairie View, so a little bit of a disappointment.
I think Prairie View is among the top teams of this conference, though, so it's not a huge. I don't think. End of the day for them.
It's early. I kind of liked this Grambling team, and I thought that they could win the league. I still think that they can, but starting off with a loss.
Jackson State with a road win as well at Alcorn by a point. So that was another.
I would love to see Grambling in the NCAA tournament. That'd be great.
Here's the upcoming schedule. We are fully into conference play now. Tons of conference games.
More games against Rust College.
I don't see any Rust College here. I don't know which game you want to circle, but you might as well circle all of them because it's the SWAC and it's we like the SWAC.
Yeah, Grambling at Texas Southern might be kind of fun.
There you go. Summit League, and let's pull up a profile here for this Oral Roberts team. I am very high on this team right now.
Very well, they
I, you know what I like it better than Kent State's. Let's compare them again.
Yeah, let's compare them again.
It's the same thing, but they at least have a tier two win.
Yeah, we've got common opponents here. Kent State had a lead on Houston at Houston with less than a minute to go, and Oral Roberts lost by about 50.
Griggs, Kent State scored 44 at Houston. Oral Roberts scored 45.
Oral
Roberts wins by a point.
Yeah. Oral Roberts likes to shoot the three.
They were in the St. Mary's game. They were kind of in that Utah
State. They were in that St. Mary's game, and they were right with Utah State for about – it was never out of reach until kind of the end. I like this Oral Roberts team. They like to shoot the three. They are fun to watch. And as far as the rest of the league, I no one else has looked good at all except them.
Oral Roberts has one non-conference game. That's a very interesting one coming up here on Monday at New Mexico. So
that's a good one. Yeah,
that could be a good test for them. And if they pick up that win, that's a tier one win.
Oh, that is, yeah. If they get that win, then you're really talking. But again, aside from Oral Roberts, and I don't want to dismiss what they've done because they are really good. South Dakota State really disappointing this year. The whole league really has been disappointing.
Yeah, coming up here this week, Oral Roberts' only other game this week is a home game against Kansas City, the Ruse. But there's not much else to talk about. Maybe St.
You can never count out the game for the Dakota marker on Thursday.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. The North Dakota State, South Dakota State, for those of you that – well, if you're watching this, you know the Dakota. Do they do that? I actually don't know the answer to this question. Is that just a football trophy, or do they do it for all sports, like the wagon wheel? I think it's for all of them. So yeah, for the Dakota.
Traveling trophy.
Come on,
is Sleeker,
you brought
football.
It up. It's all on
you.
Actually, what we should be asking our audience is that a real rivalry or is that just another quote unquote fictional one?
It's a real one. Okay.
The Dakota teams all played each other this week.
Yeah.
St. Thomas has hosted Denver at Omaha. I think they may be the second best team in this league, what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Sun Belt Conference. Now, this is another very good league.
I love this. Great league
here. And let's start with these two teams on top, and Southern Miss and James Madison. Stalika, I think these are two of the top under the radar teams of the country right here.
Yeah, James Madison did have a little bit of a swoon towards the end of non-conference play, thanks to the loss at Coppin State. Now they've rebounded quite nicely with a win at Marshall, so it does give them a bit of a leg up in conference play right here, and they'll continue to get some mileage out of their neutral court win against South Dakota State and also a road win against Buffalo.
Yeah, but I really like the Southern Miss profile. They've got the win at Liberty, which right now is a quad, just barely, but it's a quad one win. They got the road win at Vanderbilt, only two losses at Vegas and at Northwestern State, and a chance for a few more quality metric with the game at Marshall, the game against James Madison, even the game at Troy.
Well, the game in Louisiana, let's not forget about that. Yeah. Like with those four road games coming up, two of those are really hard to win. The one at Louisiana and the one you mentioned at Marshall. Marshall really good too. I think this conference is going to get a team inside the bubble. Now, if they all eat each other up and no one breaks away, then they won't. But I know they're kind of down in the standings right now with the 0-2 start, but Louisiana was really impressive out of conference. Marshall, very impressive since they lost that opener to Queens on the last second shot. And then since then, they've been fantastic. In the only game, another close loss at home to the James Madison team you just talked about. This is a good league.
Well, I'll tell you what, the problem with this league, it's kind of got the old Conference USA problem with the bloated 14-team size. There's so much garbage and so many garbage versus garbage games here that you end up with, for example, let me go back to that profile there. Southern Miss, in terms of their conference games, they get James Madison once and they don't get him on the road because of the size of this conference.
Right. And that is a
road
problem.
Game at JMU would be huge for Southern Miss in their resume.
It is. And you've got Louisiana Monroe and Georgia Southern and just a lot of crap in this league, which is unfortunate because if you could trim the fat, even Troy playing well this year at times.
Southern missed that game at Louisiana, one of the big games this week, like you mentioned. James Madison will be hosting Texas State and Stalika's favorite team out of this league, Appalachian State.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is not a vintage hot year, though.
Let's jump over to the Western Athletic Conference. And I think there's been one team we've been talking about, and that's been the Sam Houston team. Now, they do go ahead and drop a game to Utah Valley, 80-64 on opening day night of conference play. Kind of a shocker here. But yeah, on the other hand, this Utah Valley team is the other team that I think is worth taking a serious look at in this league. Because they both have multiple tier one wins. They both have a tier two road win. Other than that Morgan State loss by Utah Valley, we got two pretty darn good profiles here.
Yeah, and Oregon and BYU probably not tournament teams, but still two really, really good road wins to go along with the home game against Sam Houston. And their losses, with the exception of Morgan State, you're not really holding your nose. And you might remember they were right in that game at Wake Forest. And this is a team that we haven't talked about much. They may have snuck up on us, but you're right, Chad. This is a good Utah Valley team. Sam Houston is good, and they blew their doors off. And how many, when you look at the talent in this league, some of the profiles are really good, but more like the teams are really good.
And you see this, that was their only regular season meeting for this season also. Unfortunately, I'd love to see the two teams play a second time at Sam Houston.
Yeah, and the WAC kind of a little bit too big now. I liked it better when it was nine teams.
but there are some decent teams here.
Seattle,
Grand Canyon, with Seattle, with Stephen F. Austin, who just picked up a win against New Mexico State. Now, New Mexico State, I would have listed them in this group, except all the off-court stuff is,
I think this season,
gotten away from them at this point. They're now 0-3 in conference, actually, with tonight's loss that just went final a few minutes ago. Upcoming games, big game Thursday though, Grand Canyon at Sam Houston, Tarleton at Sam Houston's the one on Saturday. What's Utah Valley got at RGV and at Texas Arlington? They got to win those two though,
right?
Delica, how about a little insight into our other two teams that we have not yet discussed?
Yep, these would be the independent teams in Chicago State and Hartford. So now we're getting to a point in the season where we may be seeing at most one game a week from either team, if we even see any games at all, and with losses against Ohio State and Morgan State.
I got them both on there twice this week. Look at that. Hartford going to Sacred Heart and SFBK, Chicago State hosting East-West and going to Tarleton.
East-West at Chicago State. Can we? Tickets are still available.
These are probably gonna be our first two teams off of the survival board, and that's coming up very soon.
We might remove them tomorrow.
what else we got? We got checking some fictional conferences.
Yeah, mythical leagues.
Let's start with our mythical leagues, our favorite one, the first one we really start following here, the Front Range, where Colorado is now in the lead at 2-0 in conference play.
Yeah. And again, as schizophrenic as they've been this year, in first place in the Front Range, and they can get an auto bid to the tournament, Chad, if they win their conference tournament.
Yes, they can. I don't see any Air Force at Colorado State coming up on Tuesday. So we have a little Front Range action here. Air Force could move into a tie for first with this win.
Yeah. Wyoming continues to be beaten up with injuries. A team that I thought would be a top 25 team, not even in the top 200.
Our newest conference, the Back Range, Arizona continues to lead here at 1-0 in conference play. This conference, also got hurt by the cancellation of the New Mexico State series from this year. Do we have any conference games on the schedule there?
Doesn't look like it. No.
We already had the Arizona State game from last Saturday. So nice game for the Wildcats there.
The Beehive Conference.
The Beehive, yes.
Playing for one of these.
Yes, the old occurred. That's a random sequence of letters that bring. The bucket is missing. That's an actual trophy, and it is actually missing.
How about this week for the Beehive Conference? It went undefeated in every single team, other than a non-conference play. Now, the one team that did suffer a loss was Utah Tech. In a conference game. Other than that, the conference went undefeated this uh, this week. So congrats.
I think John Roth's team could really call this palpable buzz right here.
Yeah. BYU currently lead at 2-1 in conference play.
Yeah.
And let's see if we have any games coming up this week.
Not seeing any.
No.
Yeah, we need the old Okora Cup back. Utah's got to start playing everybody again.
Under the radar top 10 list.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were doing
this. The three of us, our good friend Rocco Mill from bracketeer.org, did vote as well this week. We got a lot of honorable mentions again. Also getting votes. Utah Valley got a few votes.
Santa Barbara not getting in.
Florida Gulf Coast, Santa Barbara, Drake, Lowell, Dayton.
Somebody voted for Edwardsville.
Someone voted Edwardsville, at least an honorable mention, and Yale getting a little bit of love there. But here's our top 10. It's a tie for ninth between James Madison and Iona. And coming in at number 8, we have UNC Wilmington. Talked about how much I like them in the Colonial.
Yeah.
North Texas and Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts getting it pretty high, too. I had them
higher than that even.
So, yeah, man. Really? Okay, well, yeah.
Southern Miss
climbing the pole.
Coming in at number 4, Sam Houston
falling a little bit. Well,
they had the loss to Utah.
But they did have the loss, yes.
Number 3, UAB.
UAB way up there, man.
Number 2, Kent State, the team we started the show off with. And number 1, and it is not College of Charleston because they are not eligible.
Yeah. Our drum roll messed up, but. Florida Atlantic.
No surprise, I don't think.
Right.
Three Conference USA teams in the top 10. Southern Miss is a former conference.
Yeah.
It'd be a dominating conference league season for Conference USA. But that is our top 10. So let's go to final thoughts. Salika.
I think we were going to go back to the WAC for a little bit. We talk about Utah Valley getting off to a 2-0 start. I guarantee if there is one school you want to see have a victory parade for winning the conference, it is going to be the Wolverines, led by their head coach, Mark Mad Dog Madsen. I mean, look at his career at Stanford and also look at some of the victory parades that the Lakers had while the Mad Dog was riding the bench with them. Check it out. It is awesome.
There you go. All right, Griggs.
We're sort of still at the starting line, like the first 50 meters or so of conference play. And I can't remember if it's like this every year and you just forget that it's always like this. But when you look at the Sun Belt, you look at the WAC, you look at Conference USA, perhaps the Colonial, because while not under the radar currently, still in an under the radar conference of College of Charleston. And you look at the quality of wins that are to be had in those leagues, and maybe to a small extent, maybe the MAC, but probably not. We could see a lot of teams could make runs at the bubble. I think there's room for multiple bids from all of those conferences if everything falls into place right.
Okay. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We are not done for the week, though. We will be back again Thursday evening.
That's tomorrow.
First true bracket rundown show of the season. We did a kind of a fake one a couple last week or something like that. But on behalf of John Salika, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.